heard a little boy and his father went to the zoo. After walking and walking and walking, the little boy was complaining to his dad that his feet hurt and his legs were tired. And so he did what a lot of dads do. He picked him up and put him up over his shoulders. And they continued seeing all the animals. And as they were walking along, the dad could feel the son pulling his hair. He finally stopped and said, "Boy, if you don't stop pulling my hair, I'm putting you down." And he said, "Dad, hold on. I almost got all my gum out." Then they continued on down the way, and they were looking at the animals, and they got to the lions, and they stopped, and they were just looking. The little boy was just amazed. He said, "That lion is so big, Dad." He said, "Yep, that's king of the jungle right there, the lion." He said, "Look at them big teeth." And the little boy said, "Those are big teeth." He said, "Look at those paws. You know what's in those paws?" He said, "What?" He said, "Big, sharp claws." And the little boy thought for a minute, and he looked at his dad and said, "Dad, if that lion got loose, it'd probably eat you up." And the dad said, "Well, it might, but I hope that doesn't happen." He said, "Well, if it does, what bus will take me home?" Well, today's Father's Day. Let's give our dads here a round of applause this morning. It's a great day to celebrate our dads. And when it comes to Mother's Day and Father's Day in church, it can be kind of difficult. Mother's Day, you know, we applaud moms, we pat them on the back, we show them how much we appreciate them, which is all well-deserved. And usually the sermon goes like this. You pick out some mother in the Bible, and you talk about how great she was and how great our moms are, and we really encourage the moms. And oftentimes when it comes to Father's Day, we get to the sermon, and we pull some scripture out, talks about being a dad, and then we kind of hit the dads in the head with the Bible. And they're about 2 inches shorter when they walk out because they just got beat down about how, you know, this past year has been a terrible dad, and, you know, they've done all these things wrong, and here's what you need to do better. But we're not going to do that this morning. We're not going to beat dads down, but we're going to encourage dads and moms. Everybody that's here is going to be encouraged this morning because we're going to look at the most wonderful father of them all. The most wonderful father of them all. We're going to look at God and some attributes that God has, how he is a wonderful father to his children. And how we as dads and moms, we need to try to imitate God the Father. And it's so unique that God doesn't claim to just be a God at that level, but God wants to be known as our Father. And for each of us, you know, we revere God. We know that God is all-powerful, that he holds all things together, that what we know. But God also relates to us more than just a God over us, but he's a Father to us. Which is so unique compared to other religions around the world. That Christianity, we celebrate the fact that we don't just have a God or a Lord over us, but that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. And each and every one of us, every now and again, we need a Father. We need a Father we know that loves us and wants what's best for us. And he went to such lengths to spare his own son to show, not just to tell us, but to show us how much he really loves us. And speaking of his son, Jesus, when you look at the Gospels, Jesus refers to God as his Father. 53 times in the Gospels do you hear Jesus refer to God as his Father. And then 21 times in the Gospels, you hear Jesus describe to people in general, to humanity, that God is your Father. Not only was God Jesus' Father, but he is humanity's father as well. And then another 21 times you see in the Bible, in the Gospels, that Jesus, he's having a conversation with someone, and he point blank tells the individual that the Lord, the God, that God, he is your father. That Jesus is trying to make a point that God is not just our God, but he is a loving heavenly father. He's the greatest father of them all. And so today we rejoice in celebrating our fathers, but also we recognize our Father in heaven, the greatest relationship that we'll ever have. You think about relationships. Relationships never end. What's your first relationship? Well, you're born, right? Mom, dad. And you start to bond, you make that relationship with your parents. You get a little older. You have grandparents. You have aunts and uncles. You have cousins. Just the family dynamic. You have siblings that sometimes you love. You get a little bit older and you go off to school and you make friends at school. You start to have relationships with people who aren't a part of your family. Then you get a little bit older and you recognize, I kind of like that girl or I kind of like that guy. And maybe you have a dating relationship. And then finally you get to the point where well, I want to make this dating relationship a permanent thing. And then you have a marriage relationship. And you have coworkers, and you have neighbors, and you have friends. Relationships never end. Then you become older, and what comes along? Well, you hope for grandkids. And it just continues from the point that you're born to the day you breathe your last. Relationships are a part of our life. But God would want for the greatest relationship that we have to be with Him. Because if we have a great relationship with our Heavenly Father, that will help us in our earthly relationships. And for God, in this great relationship, there are some attributes that God has. The first is, to us, it's a personal relationship. I stated a while ago, 21 times in the Gospel, that Jesus says that God is your Father. And that makes that a very personal relationship. God is not just a God who kind of looks over our lives and sort of tells us what to do. But He's a Father who makes it very personal. You go back to John chapter 3. You know, John referred to that in his meditation. Well, that conversation in John chapter 3, it started out with a conversation with a religious leader by the name of Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees. Nicodemus had used his life as a Pharisee to serve God. But he had something within him that he was drawn to Jesus. Perhaps he had heard Jesus teach a time or two. He had heard people talk about Jesus. He had probably heard his other Pharisee friends talk about Jesus. For whatever reason, he sought Jesus out at night. He came to him and he had some questions. And Jesus knew that he needed to move to a relationship with God, not just someone who knows God. There's a big difference between knowing God and having a relationship with God. You see, the Pharisees, they didn't really teach to people that God is a heavenly Father and He loves you dearly. But God is this God, He's all being, He's over us and we have to obey Him or might get struck by lightning or something. I mean, you got to toe the line. And Jesus goes into this dialogue with Nicodemus and He says, you have to be born again. And it's interesting that He chooses that terminology, that you have to be born again. Why would He choose that way of thinking? That's how relationships begin. Our first relationship is with our mother, with our father. How more personal can it get? And so He says, not to be born again of your mother's womb, but born of water and the Spirit. Through baptism, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's when you start that personal relationship with God. And He's not just your God, but it's personal. He's your Father, as Jesus points out multiple times. The Bible also in the New Testament often mentions we're not just children of God, we're adopted sons and daughters. That God desires us. You know, you can have your own natural children, and it might have been an accident. But if you go through the process to adopt a child, it's because you desire that child. And that's exactly what God has done. John talks about this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. You ever heard the statement, it is what it is? Well, here John's pointing out, God has went, He has been very lavish. We talked about that with the prodigal son, that God was very lavish in the grace that He wants to give us through His Son. Through that lavish love, He says here that we were called children of God, and that's what we are. Exclamation point. That you might want to notice that John is very emphatic. That is what you are. You are a child of God because our God is a heavenly Father who is personal. Another is it's a profound relationship. You know, before we're found in Christ, we are separated from God because there's two things that don't mix. Like oil and water, God does not mix with sin. God is perfect, righteous, holy. He cannot be in the presence of sin. And God goes and does something pretty profound by allowing us to come into His presence one day because of the blood of Christ. That we have a profound relationship with God because He is a loving Heavenly Father. He paved the way so that we could have a relationship with Him. And that is very profound. And for the Jews in the first century, the idea of calling God your Father was something that wasn't thought of. And when Jesus came on the scene, often in the presence of the Pharisees, He would respond that God is my Father. The Father and I are one. And by Jesus telling the Pharisees that God is His Father, they felt, was below, that was disrespectful to God to refer to him as your father. If you need to plea out to God, you would use the term Jehovah, which means God in the Hebrew. Perhaps there's a need in your life that needs met. You'd cry out to God, Jehovah Jireh, which in that language meant the Lord will provide. Or if they were in a situation where you're very anxious, nervous, anxiety has set in, you might cry out, Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord our peace. Or maybe you're feeling lonely, abandoned. You might cry out, Jehovah Shema, which means the Lord is there. Or another statement, if you needed some leadership in your life or you needed to become a better leader for your family, you would call on Jehovah Roi, which means the Lord my shepherd. And there's many more. It goes on and on, but you get the idea that that calling God your father was something that was not done. But how did Jesus tell his disciples to pray? One day, Jesus, when he gave his disciples the Lord's Prayer, how does he say that you address God? Our Father. And that word means daddy, that he wants to have that relationship as if we were just a small child and we depend solely on our Father, that's the relationship God wants to have with us. And that is very profound, especially for those first century Jews to call God their Father. A third is that it's permanent relationship, that we are adopted as sons and daughters. In the first century, it was practiced that if your child did something that was terrible, awful, disrespectful, you know, we'll say ruined the family name, a father could publicly and legally disown his child. But if you were to adopt a child into your family, by law, that was irrevocable. You could not disown a child that you adopted. And so the New Testament goes at lengths often to tell us you have been adopted. You have been adopted as a son and daughter of the Father, which means it's a permanent relationship. God's saving work for our souls will never end. He loves us that much. Now, God has a great relationship to us. He wants to have that. It's reciprocal. God loves us dearly, but he wants us to love him in return. But God also has some responsibilities to his children. Just as dads here on earth with our kids, we got some responsibilities to love and to nurture and protect, to teach. I mean, there's all kinds. The list goes on and on of things that we are to do for our children. But God also has some responsibilities to us. And here are just a few, just three. Number one, he's aware. God is aware of your life and your circumstances. And sometimes when life doesn't go how we want, we wonder, does God even know what's going on? But God is very aware of our lives. When the Gospels refer to our need, you see in the Gospels, it means that our needs, they are many and they're constant. And that's exactly like being a dad, isn't it? It just seems like our kids, their needs, they're always constant. They're perpetual. They keep rolling around and rolling around. And we have to be aware of that. And our Father in heaven, he is very aware. Our lives do not go unnoticed. In Psalm 121, verse 4, it says, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. You see, God is constantly aware of your life because he's a heavenly Father. Number two, he's not only aware, but he is also able. How many of you dads were trying maybe to teach your kids something and you failed at it? Ever had that happen? You were trying to teach your child how to do something, and you weren't able. You thought you could. Maybe some kind of construction project, you know, build a birdhouse, or show them how to mow the yard, and you can't get the lawnmower to start. I remember a few months ago, had a flat tire on the old station wagon, and I couldn't get the lug loose, and called Jerry Wright up, and he let me borrow a four-way. I could get more leverage. And I had Mitch there, and I haven't had him watch, you know. He can be 16 before I know it, and he needs how to do these things. And I am just cranking as hard as I possibly can. And all of a sudden, I fell over. I'm like, oh, finally. This is getting embarrassing as my kids stand there watching me. And so I put it back on to start to loosen it more, and it didn't fit. And I thought, what in the world? And I turned it around, and I looked, and the lug wrench, it split. And Mitch just kind of looks at me, and doesn't say a word, and just kind of turns around and walks back to the house. And I thought, That was embarrassing. I'm not even able to change a tire, for crying out loud. You know, we're gonna fail. But one person who won't fail us, who is always able, is God. You see this throughout Scripture, and some of these cases seem extreme. You think of Noah. How because he was righteous and honored God with his life, that God spared his life in the ark. God was more than able. You think of Moses leading the people before the Red Sea, and God was more than able. You think of Jonah, swallowed by that great fish, but God was more than able and provided that sandy beach for him to be vomited on. You think of Daniel in the lion's den, that God was more than able to protect his life by closing the mouths of those lions. And in our lives, God, he's not just aware, but he is able. The third is, another step forward, he is available. And I think for a dad, that's one of the most important things that we can do for our kids, is to be available. To simply be available, to spare our time for our kids. I mentioned a few weeks back in a message that when we're aged and our kids are adults, one thing they're never going to tell you is, I wish you would have given me more stuff. But one thing they might tell you is, I wish you would have given me more of your time. And God gives us his time. God is always available. When Jesus hung on the cross and he breathed his last breath, something monumental happened in the temple where the presence of God resided was behind a thick curtain, a place the high priest could only go once a year before the presence of God. That when Jesus breathed his last breath, he took upon him the sins of humanity. That curtain split in half, representing that now God's presence dwelt among his people. That 24/7, God is available. In the book of Deuteronomy, you get to chapter 31. Moses' time on earth is narrowing down. He's passing on his leadership torch to Joshua, and he's starting to provide some assurance to the people as he is this great leader of the people of God, the Hebrew people. And he reminds them of something. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, he says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And why would he tell them that God, he will be with you? Well, as they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, what was a sign that the people knew that God was with them? There was that pillar of cloud at day, and there was a pillar of fire at night, showing the people that God is continually with us. And when they would cross that Jordan River into the Promised Land, that no longer would there be a pillar of cloud or fire. But remember, take to heart that God, he's aware, he's able, and he's available. Now, God does that for us. But just like an earthly relationship between a father and a child, the child has a responsibility. We know these attributes of God, but what do? We have a role to play. The first is you must have faith. Remember when you were a little kid? I mean, you just believed everything your dad said. You just trusted him with everything that was within you. And where does our beginning with our relationship with God happen? It comes by faith. We hear the word of God and we believe it and we trust it and we have faith in God. And God would say, I want you to have faith in me. That I'm a heavenly father that loves you dearly, and I have went to great lengths to show that. And God would desire us to have faith. God would want us to know that he is this big Bible word, sovereign. That he is in control. He has a handle on things, and just have faith in me. And then we take it a step forward. Once we have faith, God then wants us to be faithful. You see, those are two different things. To just believe and have faith, but then to take one step, two-step, and walk the Christian life. You know, just being on the church roll doesn't cut it. Just having a mailbox out here on the wall, okay, that doesn't cut it. But God wants us to live faithful lives to him. And sometimes we get this backwards, and I think often it's because we had a relationship with our father that was this way. That as long as I do the right things and do enough good things, then my father will love me back. But God says it's the opposite. That if you're just faithful to me, I will love you. There's no conditions there, and God would want us to model that as fathers and mothers as well today. But God would say, just be faithful. And often we get off track in this. And we have misplaced priorities in life. And some things become much more important in our life than being faithful to God. And God doesn't love us any less. Just like the prodigal father welcomed home his son. He gave him lavish love. God would say, just be faithful. Don't lose sight of how much I love you. You see, God has always and will always love us. That God's love began when time began, and his love will continue forever. Paul reminds us in the book of Romans that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still far from God, God already loved us because he's a father. And he wants to have that relationship with you. While we were unworthy, God still offers us his love. He wants us set free from the prison of sin so that one day he can welcome us home and be in his presence. Just as Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden with the Lord, God wants one day nothing more than for us to be in a relationship with him and that we can call him our Father. This morning, can you say that God is my Father? Can you say that Jesus is my Savior? If not, then we welcome you to call God your Father, to accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, and be baptized. As Jesus told Nicodemus, to be baptized through water, to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit, to start that relationship, that you can call God your Father, and you can trust in him fully each and every day. If you can answer that question, yes, that God is my Father, that Jesus is my Savior, then we're going to sing a song of praise to God for the love that he gives us each and every day, the most wonderful Father of them all. So let's go ahead and stand together and let's worship God through this song. Seated for just a moment. We're going to take up a special offering here in a minute after I pray, but if you weren't here last week and you're wondering what I'm even talking about, let me explain it quickly. Love Packages is an organization over in Butler, Illinois, over by Hillsboro, and we discovered this a few weeks back. We took some extra Bibles and material here we had at the church that just wasn't being used over to them, and they explained what all they do. They fill up those big shipping cargo containers you see on ships. This full of Christian material, and they send it overseas to missionaries. This has been going on since the early 70s, And this year, they're hoping to send off 11 cargo ships, a few thousand tons worth of Christian material to missionaries across the world. And they get weekly correspondence from missionaries of people's lives being changed because of the material that they receive. And as we talked to them, we kind of were wondering, I mean, does it cost a lot of money to ship a cargo container? I can't imagine. It costs a lot to ship a letter or mail a letter. They said this year, if they can get the money, they plan to send 11 cargo containers. It'll cost around $400,000. And so I just felt in my heart, you know, our VBS offering from last weekend's going to them. Some money from a Sunday school class here is going. And I thought, why don't our whole church come together just to bless them and continue what they're doing. So that's what this is all about. So let's pray for this offering, and then we'll receive it. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for what Love Packages has done and will continue to do in your name, so that those who are around this world are much less fortunate than we are to get their hands on material to tell them about Jesus and what it means to have a relationship with him. So I just pray, Father, that you would continue to bless them, and I pray that you'd bless this offering, Lord, that it be used time and time again. Lord, we know what you can do, and we just ask you, Father, to do it. Lord, we just thank you for the generosity of this church family and for the offering that we're taking up. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're so glad to have had you worship with us this morning. Hope to see you again next Sunday. Two other things I want to announce. The first is, dads, out there on the table, there are some Reese's Cups. Take a couple if you want. You don't even have to share them with your kids either. Just a way to show our dads we appreciate you, so you can grab one of those. Other announcement, we mentioned a week or two ago that Sunday, July 4th, we're just going to have one combined worship service. No first service. Times are staying the same, but we're just going to kind of make that a special day and have one combined service. So let's stand together. We will pray and have our closing song. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time to come together. Lord, that we can come, we can worship freely here. Lord, we can be rejuvenated for a week to come. Lord, we can give you the honor that you're due. And I just pray for all of us as we leave this place that we will take, Lord, your word into our hearts. And Father, that we would be available to you. Lord, that we would allow you, Father, to work your will through our lives. And I just pray, Father, that we would just remember how blessed we are to have a heavenly Father like you, who loves us so dearly. You loved us enough, Lord, to sacrifice your Son on our behalf so that one day we can have that face-to-face relationship in heaven for eternity. God, we are thankful. I ask, Lord, that you'd pray, continue to be with those. Lord, we pray for those on our prayer list and that you would just continue to be with them. Father, we thank you for Izzy and the decision she made to be baptized, to live her life for Christ. Lord, I just thank you for her and the blessing for her family. Lord, just be with us all. Continue to guide and direct us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.